Hello and welcome to this episode of Marine Band Offstage. I'm your host, Staff Sergeant Connor Mikula. Every professional musician has a unique story from choosing an instrument to performing their first concert on the professional stage. For this episode, I sat down with two members of the Marine Band to hear their stories.
Hello, my name is Staff Sergeant Kristen Bowers, and I'm a clarinetist with the United States Marine Band.
Kristen, thanks so much for joining me. So, Kristen, straight into your musical journey, how did you start playing music, and was there any reason that you picked it up?
I started actually on the piano when I was about 6 years old, and we had a keyboard in our house, and so that's kind of what led me to start piano lessons. I thought that it was a really cool way to get exposed to music, and I was already singing in like a children's choir at church and things like that, so I'd had a little bit of musical exposure. But piano lessons were the way I really got into it. And I actually continued taking piano lessons all the way through high school. So I was simultaneously doing clarinet and piano for quite a lot of years.
Wow. I mean, I started out on piano as well when I was five, but I quickly gave that up once I started the saxophone in high school. So you actually stuck with it. But now you do also perform clarinet for a living. How do you feel that your piano experience, both in high school and college, you played it in college a little bit as well?
I did. Yeah, I took some lessons in college.
How do you feel as though that has helped you as a professional clarinetist today?
Well, I think when I was first getting started on clarinet, there was no doubt that having experience on piano was a huge advantage. It kind of, you know, I was already familiar with the musical language. And so I automatically had a huge head start being able to read music, understand dynamics. And I was able to kind of quickly get into clarinet playing, not reading music and things like that. So that helped a lot. And then as I got older, I think my understanding of harmony, which of course you only play one note at a time on the clarinet, but having that understanding of harmony really helps you phrase better and have clear musical ideas about what you want to do on a melodic instrument like the clarinet.
Yeah, I think already having that ability to read music coming into sixth grade band or whenever the first year of band at your particular school is, that's a huge help. I already, you know, was reading bass clef, treble clef, so I could focus really just on the instrument. So I think that's interesting. You also started with piano. So, Kristen, after all of that clarinet and piano, you first attended Indiana University Jacobs School of Music with Howard Klug. What were some of the more memorable or helpful college experiences for you there?
Well, I think that some of the most important things to me there were, at first, things like clarinet technique class and things like that, where you were just with your group of clarinetists working on scales, fundamentals, patterns, all of the things that really helped me to build technique. And then as I progressed there, I had some amazing ensemble experience. I played in orchestras, in operas, and really got a ton of repertoire under my belt. I played in clarinet choir. And in a lot of these instances, I was kind of thrown into the fire playing auxiliary clarinets for the first time. I think when I think back about it, the first piece I ever played on E flat clarinet, which was really my first time picking up an E flat clarinet, was Till Eulenspiegel. And at the time, I didn't know to be terrified of playing Till Eulenspiegel on the E flat clarinet, so I just did it. And in a similar sense, I played a lot of bass clarinet. Some of the first pieces I played on bass clarinet were Mahler 6, Sorcerer's Apprentice, Daphnis and Chloe, like the big, big pieces for bass clarinet. And at the same time, I just picked it up and had no choice but to do it. So being thrown in those instances to do something really challenging was amazing experience that I'm really grateful for.
I often look over in the band and see the clarinetists, the auxiliary clarinetists for that concert, just sitting in a giant pile of clarinets. Like they have all of the sizes ranging big to small. And I don't so much remember that in high school. Is that something that really you only dealt with right when you got to college?
Yes. I don't think I'd played any auxiliary before college, which, okay, you know, there's always, you know, one kid in high school that really plays the E flat clarinet, but I stayed away from them because it was it was daunting and scary. But in college, I didn't have any choice. You know, I was assigned, you're playing E-flat clarinet, you're playing bass clarinet. And it was a great experience that I feel like all students should take advantage of at that time, because it really pushes your limits and expands the capacity of what you can do on the instrument.
So a portion of our listeners are talented high school musicians that might think about majoring in music and might want to know what college life and music is like. What would you say are some of the sharpest contrasts between your high school clarinet life and your college clarinet life?
That's a great question, because I think as a high school student, I was very busy. You know, I was very involved in all things music, all parts of the fine arts and outside of the music building as well. And of course, you have tons of academics that you're working on. So I feel like I was putting in a decent amount of practice time as a high school student, but it's never enough. You just don't have enough time at that time. So when I got into college, I was really just spending time in the practice room, spending time with my colleagues in school, playing duets, you know, just really playing as much as I could, because everyone always says this and you don't realize it's true until later, but you don't ever have enough time to practice as you do when you're in college. You have to really take advantage of that precious time where it's your job to be practicing.
Right. And so speaking of practicing, after your schoolwork during the year, did you fill your summers with any sort of musical activities, or did you just sort of relax and put the clarinet down for the whole summer?
I definitely spent a lot of time practicing. And of course, some of my best summer experiences were going to some really awesome music festivals. I spent two summers at the Brevard Music Festival, and that's really where I played so much bass clarinet, which was really, really helpful for me. I spent an amazing summer playing clarinet and hiking in Breckenridge, Colorado with the National Repertory Orchestra. And then one of my coolest festival experiences was actually at the Texas Music Festival. I went there kind of because it was not the whole summer long and I wanted to make money too. So I went to this 1 month music festival. And then I happened to win the concerto competition there, which came with an offer for a solo performance with an academic orchestra in Leipzig, Germany at the Gewandhaus.
Wow.
So that was just an incredible experience that just kind of, you know, materialized from hard work and dedication and putting myself out there at these festivals. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a lot of success sort of investing into the clarinet and these musical festivals in the summer. And so that's a, you know, great thing for college students and high school students to do, is seek out these musical experiences, not just during the academic year. But after that, you attended Northwestern University for your master's. And what did you do after you finished your degree over in Evanston?
After I finished my degree in Evanston, I actually spent the next 2 years living in Chicago, which I'm from the Chicago area, so it was nice to be living in the city and being close to home. I spent a whole lot of hours teaching clarinet lessons, and then when I wasn't teaching clarinet lessons, I did some awesome chamber music with an ensemble called the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, which was really fun. It was a great way to meet a lot of other clarinet professionals in the Chicago area. And then one of the coolest things I did on the side was that I got together with friends through a group called the Classical Revolution Chicago, which was a group where we would get together, read through some chamber music, and then play it in bars in the city, which was pretty cool because if you can imagine it, I've been in a bar where you hear somebody drinking a beer and shouting out, yeah, Beethoven, which, you know, is like something that I am never going to forget hearing. And I hope I hear someday again.
That sounds like quite the hang.
Definitely.
Well, I really like this part of your story, Christian, because so many music students feel as though they have to go intense degree to intense degree to intense degree to a full-time job. And then that's how it has to be. But you stayed in Chicago to be a musician after your master's. You were teaching, you were playing in chamber music, you were taking auditions, and that's really a lot of the life of a musician. So I think that's really cool. And it sounds like your time in Chicago sort of helped you turn into the musician that you are today.
Definitely. I thought about going right on to another degree, doing a DMA right after my master's degree. But it was really nice to take a break from school, take time to really practice and assess what I wanted to do next. And this is where I really spent a lot of time taking every audition that came up. And I had the flexibility in my schedule to really work and practice and travel the country taking any audition that I could do.
So you mentioned auditions. How many did you take?
I've never been an audition counter, but I do know that it was a lot. And if I had to guess, I would say probably somewhere around 24 or 25.
Wow, that's some dedication. And I think that just goes to show, here you are now in the Marine Band. I don't know if everyone knows just how much losing goes into being a successful musician such as yourself. What did you learn from all of that, especially now being in the position of success that you are today?
You definitely learn resilience as a musician by taking auditions. You know, auditions are a funny thing. Some go your way, some don't. You have good days and bad days. And there's something to be really learned from advancing in one audition, and then you can come back the next audition and not pass the first round. And yet you still have to pick yourself up and get back out there and do it again. And one kind of really cool moment where I learned this is that when I won my first professional audition with the United States Air Force Band, I was actually about as close as you can get to winning a job, but not winning a job with the United States Marine Band. So I went through 2 grueling audition days with the Marine Band only to be one of 3 finalists and not get the job. Mm. And yet I still picked myself up and the next day went straight out to another audition and happened to win that one. So it's really something to be said for just taking them as they come and moving on from when it doesn't go your way.
Well, if there's anything we all know about you here in the Marine Band, Kristen, it's the dedication, optimism, and positive attitude, as well as absolutely stunning clarinet playing. So, moving on to the Air Force Band, you were actually in a different military band before you joined the Marine Band. So I think that's a pretty unique thing about you. It's a little unique in your experience. Certainly we have other members that have sort of the same trajectory, but do you feel as though there were any memorable experiences that helped you today in the Air Force Band before you came to the Marine Band?
Absolutely. I spent 6 years in the Air Force Band. And one of the coolest, most memorable things about my Air Force career happened actually even before I joined the band. So when you enlist in the Air Force Band, you do have to go through basic military training. Mm-hmm. So that was a major hurdle that I was very nervous about. And of course, everybody tells you when you're getting ready for basic training, don't tell anyone that you're going to be in the band. The bus rolls up to Lackland Air Force Base, and the first thing that happens is that somebody gets on the bus and says, raise your hand if you're guaranteed to be in a band. And so obviously you have to raise your hand. But the thing that this did was place me and anyone else who had any musical experience into the basic training drum and bugle corps. So there were no clarinets in the drum and bugle corps, of course. So I spent 9 weeks playing the bugle in basic training.
Had you ever played any brass instruments prior to that?
No, of course not. I could barely buzz my lips. That's why I play the clarinet. But I did have the opportunity to practice for 9 weeks, which was really interesting. And I was the second best bugle player at basic training that year. So,
well, I mean, clarinet, bugle, they're both instruments, right? So of course you can play them both.
Right. Yeah. Naturally. Yes. I could never play the F on the top of the staff. So I'm one of these days I'll take it up again and try to work on that.
Still maybe practicing bugle. Got it.
Definitely.
You were serving as principal during your time with the Air Force Band, correct?
I did. I won an audition to be the principal about 5 months after I joined the band, which was
wow,
really kind of a unique experience. And I felt really honored to be given that opportunity to serve in that way for the band, because I really got thrown in to be a musical leader of the section that was filled with people who had a ton of great experience. And in a lot of ways, I was learning from all of those people who were teaching me how to play in a section of a band. And it was really invaluable experience to be able to play alongside all of those people as I was learning how to do that job there.
Still in the professional era of your career, playing with other talented musicians helps you grow as a musician yourself.
Absolutely.
So we definitely appreciate that you made the decision to audition again to the Marine Band, because we're very happy to have you here now. Was this your second audition into the Marine Band?
This was my third audition.
Third audition. So was there anything unique about that audition?
You know, I think this audition that I ended up winning was really interesting for me, because I didn't expect that I would ever be taking a Marine Band audition again. And when I decided to take it, I had a 10-month-old baby at home.
Wow.
And my husband and I had the same job. And I was like, oh, well, you know, this would really be more ideal if we didn't have the same exact job. And so I decided to really practice and work hard for the Marine Band audition. And I think that I took all of my experience from 6 years of playing in a band and did all of my personal practice. And I think that the band experience that I had really helped me when I went back to playing excerpts for auditions, when I could really play them hearing the band or the orchestra behind me as I was practicing excerpts. I think it really helped me to perform in the audition as somebody who had experience.
Wow. Well, we're very fortunate to have you here in the Marine Band, Kristen. Thank you so much for sitting down with me and sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Staff Sergeant Robert Bonner, and I am a trumpet player in the United States Marine Band.
Thank you for joining us today, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
So, your story from the beginning, how did you originally start playing music?
I started playing in sixth grade band. I was a late addition. Originally, I was in art class, and my mom decided to switch my, I guess, studies around, and I joined band late after they were picking their instruments. So I didn't have an actual instrument to play when I joined band, and my band director had a trumpet on his music stand, and he handed it to me. He goes, here, try and make a sound on this. And I guess I made a sound, a decent enough one. And yeah, that's the rest is history.
That's how you started playing trumpet.
Literally, yeah.
Wow, yeah. I could imagine showing up to class and thinking, oh, I don't have an instrument. And the teacher just hands you something off of their stand. And that's how you started playing trumpet. And here you are today.
Yeah. Also, not very hygienic, you know, handing someone else your instrument. Yeah.
Right. So, and obviously you were definitely a natural and super amazing right away at the trumpet, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. and, you know, just straight trajectory all the way to the president's zone. no, it was definitely, I think, unorthodox path, unusual path, not one that many people take, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely enjoyed band through middle school and high school. And I was in marching band, of course, all throughout high school. I started in eighth grade marching band, actually. Not because I was some phenomenal player, but I think that we went to a really small high school and they just needed people to be in the marching band. So,
and this was in Texas, correct?
This was in East Texas. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Special part of Texas.
All right. And so what was your practice routine or lessons or sort of regimen for trumpet in middle school and high school?
I didn't have one. It was mostly just played in band class. And I actually was drum major the last 2 years of high school, so I didn't have to play trumpet in the fall. That is, of course, I had to play in the spring when did all the concert band stuff. But I didn't take any lessons until I got to college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was sort of that love of band that kept you engaged in it? You said you love the band camaraderie and sort of the whole scene behind high school and college band. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Definitely. I mean, some of my closest friends that I talked to today are from high school band, marching band, and college marching band. I was in the marching band at Texas Tech all 4 years. And some of my closest friends now that I keep in touch with, who aren't even musicians, they, you know, we keep in contact through band because we became so close through marching band.
Wow. And so now you professionally play in a band. Is any of that camaraderie still around for you?
Totally. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
Good. Good. All right. So how did you end up becoming a music major? What was that process like for you?
Well, growing up, of course, as I already said, was in band all through middle school and high school, and really loved music in general. My parents loved music. They were always very encouraging to go to live music, not necessarily classical music, but really just like all different kinds of genre. I was mostly into like rock and punk, and of course everyone had an emo phase, of course. But yeah, I always loved music, and I knew I wanted to go into music, but I didn't really know what. So when I showed up to register for classes for undergrad, I didn't really know what to do. I just knew I wanted to do music. And they were like, well, how about music ed? And I was like, okay, sure. They were like, what's your primary instrument? And I was like, what? What do you mean? What's my primary instrument?
Wow.
They were like, well, you have to declare a primary instrument in order to take lessons. And I was like, oh, I have to take lessons? Oh, no. And they were like, yeah, you have to. So I was like, I play a little guitar and a little trumpet. And they were like, well, we don't have a guitar studio here, so trumpet it is. And so that's how I ended up selecting a primary instrument of trumpet.
That was signing up for classes.
Literally registering for classes.
Incredible. So, and you, I think you mentioned this before, you didn't really take trumpet lessons until you got to college.
Right.
Wow. So your first trumpet lesson you ever took was during your freshman year of college.
Right. Yeah. It was, it wasn't really a priority of mine in high school. Unfortunately, and I kind of kicked myself for not doing that, but, yeah, I didn't start taking, and luckily once I started taking lessons, I of course saw the improvement that I was making, and I really enjoyed just practicing. I kind of got a late in life love for practicing and stuff like that. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I think the timing was still good.
Right. So then what was your undergrad experience like through the 4 years you were there?
I mean, obviously Texas Tech, where I went to undergrad, big time football school. So the marching band culture was very vibrant. And the music ed department, which is what I got my undergrad degree in, music ed, very thriving, very, rich history in music education. And that's what I got my undergrad degree in. So that part of it was great. And, it was a little rocky. Because I had braces all 4 years of high school. And then when I came to college, the first year I had braces.
Oh, wow.
So again, like I said, a little bit of an unusual trajectory. I had to basically relearn how to play after my freshman year. But luckily I was, you know, taking lessons full time in school. And then outside of school, when I would go home on the holidays, I would take in the summers and in the holiday season with my another teacher of mine, Jeffrey Meyer. And he really got me really nerding out about trumpet and music, especially just to like make myself a better musician. So yeah, as far as that respect goes, it wasn't the easiest time to try and get over some of the hurdles, but like you said, the camaraderie and some of the friends I had were just really encouraging and motivating to me to get better. And yeah.
Wow. And so you mentioned that your undergrad was in music education, and certainly there are plenty of band members. There are plenty of band members here who have degrees in music education, but now you're a full-time performer. So how does your experience in the music education area affect the musician that you are today?
I would say directly, as far as maybe my daily practice goes or how I approach playing the trumpet, it makes you like engage that teacher mindset that you have. maybe in the practice room, like, well, I'm having a problem with this passage. How would I fix that? I learned a lot of tools through my undergraduate degree as far as like problem solving and listening too. I think when you're in front of an ensemble, you have to have really, really good ears to be able to fix things and, you know, ultimately make a piece or a concert program better, especially at this level. You know, when things are already really, really great from the get-go, it takes a great set of ears to then just really polish things. So I think, like I said, having a good set of ears and being honest with sort of the goals you're trying to set as well is really important, because, you know, you have to have goals when you're practicing, mm-hmm. for sure.
So on to grad school for you. What was your experience auditioning for your master's?
Again, I think the theme of this is just unconventional. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people went through this too, but when I was applying for graduate schools, I was also student teaching. And I student taught at a big 5A high school band program. So they had a football team, of course, so the Friday nights were full. They did Bands of America. They did, marching band competitions. So when I was auditioning for grad schools, I was practicing a lot and working a lot as a student teacher. And I, of course, applied to all the important schools, the other conservatories that you would want to go to. Mm. I think I ended up taking around 8 auditions or something like that to different schools. I didn't get into any.
Oh.
Which was a bummer. So I ended up by, you know, very the graciousness of the studio teachers at Texas Tech. I went back to Tech for the first year of my master's and ended up transferring because I had just had a better scholarship opportunity and ended up going to Colorado State. At Colorado State, I was able to do that, play a lot of principal. And of course, the facilities at Colorado State were wonderful, and I had 24-hour access to practice rooms and rehearsal spaces. So that was great. I could, you know, practice whenever I wanted to, and I got a lot of great opportunities there.
It sounded like the passion for the music making was always there from day one. And then eventually later down the road, all of the everything else that goes into becoming a musician kind of came together for you.
Yeah, I think so.
So what experiences through college prepared you the best to enter the post-college world or do the job, so to speak?
I think just sticking with what you like. Obviously, my goal was to be a professional musician. It was a little vague. I didn't know where I would end up, but I knew I wanted to be a professional musician. So just sticking with that goal and being really, really stubborn, and at all costs, just, you know, trying to achieve that goal, and being open to a lot of different sources of advice and counsel from, be it my trumpet teachers or people I would freelance with, and, you know, clarinetists and string players and all that stuff, just, learning from a lot of different people. And then I was really fortunate enough later in grad school to be subbing with professional orchestras and gigging with other professionals. And I really learned just how to be a good colleague and show up prepared, for sure. Because when you're doing stuff like that, when you're playing around other professionals and you're not an established professional, you really got to, you know, be squared away when you show up, just like here, when we're in rehearsals here. You know, you really need to be prepared before the first downbeat of the rehearsal. So it taught me that. So when I did come to my first rehearsal with the President's Own, I got a lot of nice compliments like, hey, it sounds like, you know, it feels like you've been here for 10 years already. And that was a really nice thing to hear because I felt really comfortable and that, okay, it sounds like I'm doing the right things, or at least people say I am, which was nice.
Would you say that you have any advice for anyone about keeping the job, so to say, because we talk all the time about getting the job, winning the audition, practicing, but it seems as though you're very well versed in doing the job and keeping the job. So what advice would you have about that?
I would say, other than, of course, just showing up prepared, and being prepared, not just your music, I'll speak as a trumpet player, having a pencil, you know,
just these little things, right?
Literally having the right mutes. Having an extra pencil, you know, it will score you major points if you're playing second trumpet and the principal trumpet player is looking around for a pencil and you can hand him one. I'll tell you what, it sounds weird, But it goes a long way if you can do, because people, like you said, people will want to work with you after that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, you know, this may sound rude, or, you know, just observe a lot. Don't try not to be too talkative. You want to be a warm person and inviting to talk to. But I think a better way to think about it, I guess, is be very observant and just take in everything, how people act, what's the mood, and, you know, things like that in an ensemble. You know, you definitely don't want to stick out in a bad way. So my instinct is to always just observe people's personalities and sort of just kind of mold into that. So like, yeah, so people will want to work with you. And again, bring a pencil to rehearsal. Don't be that guy.
I really wish someone had given me the observe more, talk less advice my freshman year of college. So I think that's very great advice. What would you say the least traditional ensemble you've ever played in was?
I was in a punk emo band in high school.
Oh, playing trumpet?
No, I played guitar.
Okay.
Like I said, I played guitar. I took lessons on guitar before I started taking lessons on trumpet. So I probably was a better guitar player than a trumpet player for a long, long time. And now it's definitely switched. But I guess it's maybe considered traditional, but I was fortunate enough to play in a ragtime band in college. I guess that's the weirdest non-classical, I guess, quote unquote, ensemble that I played in. And that gets you really good at sight reading too.
Oh, yeah, I bet. So Robert, I absolutely love your story. I feel like when we think of the fantastic world of professional ensembles, musicians, both orchestra and band, we tend to think of conservatories and competitions and prodigies and things like that. But you're one of the most gifted trumpet players I've ever had the pleasure of hearing. And if you'll forgive me, the road seems to be more unconventional than most performers I know. So from your experience, do you have any advice that might be helpful to someone who loves music like you do and the band world as a whole, but might be struggling a little bit?
I think being open-minded with or about other people's perspectives and approaches to music, because you never know where you might find some inspiration or something that just clicks with you. So that's what I would say, be open, and then also be really, really stubborn and hard-headed. And I mean, if it's really what you want is to be a professional musician or just to be a musician, just don't give up. I mean, do not. There were so many times where I could have given up and just said, you know what, this is not for me, this is too hard. But maybe against advice of others, I just was like, nope, this is what I want to do. And I'm going to just keep pursuing it until, because I knew it was just time. If it was just time, okay, I can do that. I could just keep putting in the time. So that's what I would say.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was written by Staff Sergeant Connor Mikula, and it was produced and edited by Master Sergeant Patrick Morgan and Staff Sergeant Joe Cradler. Recorded in John Philip Sousa Band Hall at Marine Barracks, Washington, D.C.